Since I rushed him, I only get a couple of songs. We only get a couple of songs. John chapter 6, verse 48 is where we're going to start. I like to fill in the blanks on that pool thing. The story is incomplete. Every time he had an average of 5 balls still left on the table, and I scratched on the 8 ball every time. That's the story. That is pitiful. I was about to say, I didn't get mad about it, but I was kind of getting a little aggravated.
If he didn't beat you, he'd beat yourself.
That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you, Keith, for clarifying that. Keith's my main man now. John chapter 6, verse 48 is where we're going to be. When I first got into faith, or when I first came to understand who Jesus Christ is, my Lord, as my Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior, John chapter 6, verse 48, a lot of people told me, read the book of John. Read the book of John. I mean, I probably heard that from everybody. Even when I was lost, and I'd run into people who believed, and I'd say, and sometimes when you're lost and you want to start a Christian conversation, even though you're not one, you say, what would be a good book to read, you know? And everybody, read the book of John, you know? Here's what I say. If you're born again and you're in the book, guess what? God will help you out. Get in the book and read it. I probably wouldn't get into Leviticus right away or Numbers. But any word, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, would help you out greatly. But John is such a great book because it tells you who Jesus is. And it actually tells you who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It tells you who you are without Him. So the book of John is a great book, but he constantly, through the book of John, is reminding you who He is, which is He is God. And then not only is He God, but He is our salvation. And He takes every type and every shadow and everything that was written in the volume of this book and says, everything the Bible's about is about me. Ain't that cool? And we're going to cover one of those tonight, and hopefully as a church we're going to grow tonight. I want to grow. There's one part in this that is really heavy in where I see our church at today and where we kind of want to go. So that's important to me tonight, where God's put this on our heart. But John chapter 6, I guess the title of the message tonight, I don't know if I put it on there, is Jesus wants to be necessary to you. Absolutely. Do y'all know what necessary means? You have to have it. Amen? I hope that you understand that Jesus is something after tonight that's not something that you have or something you need to get. It's absolutely, you have to have Him. You need Him in your life. You got it? All right. So John chapter 6, verse 48 starts out with this, another declarative statement, which you'll find all the way through the book of John. But he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And he is preaching this in a Jewish synagogue where everybody up to this point is still trying to get to God through a law. And they're trying to get through there through Moses, the law that was given to Moses. And everything they have is compared to Moses. And they know what, when he said, I am the bread of life, all their minds, every one of them went to manna. That manna that came down, that was good stuff. That kept the children of Israel alive as they were going through the wilderness, right? He said, I am the bread of life. Now listen, I want you to write this down. When I was thinking about preparing this, when he says this, this is the cornerstone of food in the world at this time. Bread is the cornerstone. Back maybe, I don't know, I don't want to go 30, 40 years, bread used to be the cornerstone of American diet. Amen? Big piece of bread. I don't know if y'all remember this, but when I was growing up, Dad got the big piece of bread. The big biscuit, right? Okay, yeah, the extra dough is, I mean, you don't touch that, it's Dad's. If Dad didn't get it, I got it because I was a baby. Anyway, then you got beat up right after breakfast. Anyway, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. What he's saying is that was a temporal bread. I am not a temporal bread. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that many that man may eat thereof and not die. He said, if you get me, you shall not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? He made people mad. I can't, man, when I'm reading early, when Jesus is walking and he's gathering disciples and he's gathering some men unto himself and women, I'm thinking, man, keep it going. And Jesus preaches stuff that makes people mad, that separates people. And first of all, he's preaching to a group of people that you think, hey, I want them to incorporate. I want them to come in. But yet, he preaches stuff that he knew absolutely was going to make them mad. He knew this was going to upset them. He was saying, look, your fathers ate that manna. Now, let me, oh, golly. Here's, you would love to tell the story. My great-grandfather, he ate the bread from glory. Amen? Up in the temple, we got that holy bread. That's a representation. Guess what? That's what we believe in. It's physical. You can touch it. You can see it. And the stories have been told. And all of a sudden, some man who's 30-something years old stands up and says, that was not the bread I am. Amen. That's not what you got to put your trust and faith in. You put it in me. Man, you talking about turning the world upside down. Because guess what? Excluding people who believe in Jesus Christ. There's people who don't believe, and then there are people who are trying to work their way to heaven some other way except through God, except through Jesus. And they believe you've got to do a bunch of stuff, and you got to be good enough, and you got to dress good enough, and you've got to, and you just, I mean, you're checking all the boxes. And guess what? These people were checking all the boxes, and one of the biggest boxes was that holy bread. And Jesus says, I'm that bread. Feed of me, you won't never hunger again. It'll fill you up. You ain't never going to die. Golly, bum. What a big word. But what a scary word. It ticks some people off. I could just hear them. What, are you insane? We're not going to trust you. You're not very old. You've not been around very long. Exactly, but he's been around since the beginning of this world, and he's been around forever and ever and ever. He's always been. Amen. He's God. Phew. So he's not afraid. Listen, some messages. Listen, so I want you to hear this as a church member here, or somebody comes. And on Wednesday night, you're the. We can't run you off. We're trying. All right. I'm just kidding. We're not. But I say that a lot. But guess what? Look at this. These guys. Hey. Some messages separate wheat from chaff. Amen? Some messages do that. Some things in the church separate wheat and chaff. And God's not afraid to do that. He's good at identifying. He's good at pulling some of those things. And sometimes you just got to say, all right, let them go until they figure it out. Oh, I know that's hard. I'll preach that some other time. The Jews, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, listen. I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What? Did you hear what he just... Listen, he made the Jewish people mad who didn't believe in him at the time. He made some people that were just kind of showing up because the Jesus thing was going on. Hello? Some people just show up because that there's something new. January, New Year's resolution, we're going to church. Working out and eating better. Never mind. That lasts till what? Mid-January. Okay, that's what they. Hey, guess what? Listen, he made some. He was not. He was willing to make them mad. But guess what? He's starting to get into some weird stuff now. And not only is he saying you've got to eat my flesh, but also you got to drink my blood. Guess what? Uh-oh, the whole Bible. The whole B-I-B-L-E says not to drink blood. Right? Now Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to be your bread and your water. You're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Man, this is off the charts. Now, listen, it's not like us tonight. When he's preaching this, these people are sitting in front of him and they're going, are you crazy? The Jewish people are already off the rails. Now some of his disciples and apostles are sitting there going, are y'all all right? They're looking at each other like this. Right? They're looking at me, this is crazy, man. This is insane. I want y'all to get this. Just stay with me right here. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Christianity is an inside job. He said, I want to get inside of you, and I want you to get inside of me. That's the whole book of John 2, vine and branches. Jesus wants to incorporate himself. Listen, salvation, you can't become better. You just become better because Christ gets in you. I want you to get this. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. If you're a Christian, when you read stuff like that, hopefully in your own time, I wished at church, but every once in a while, this should overwhelm you. This should overwhelm you. Sometimes that should overwhelm you that you're going to live forever. And you should every once in a while, you should just kind of be like, no matter what's going on in your life today, if you're tired, you're sick, you're hurt, I mean, whatever it is, whatever might be able to, you need, as a Christian, every once in a while, when somebody reads this and says, hey, guess what? Because you've chose Christ, because you've ingested him, you're going to live forever. Man, that puts some perspective on my issues. Does that put some perspective on your issues? Man, the devil whispers at me all the time. You're going under. This ain't going to work. This is going to fail. You're going to be without. You're going to be on the outside. Does anybody else get those messages? I guess on a Wednesday night, it's just me. But guess what? Man, every once in a while, God rolls it into focus. Kevin, 10,000 years from now, I'm sorry, 150 years from now, you'll be living in eternity. As 10,000 years as it's just begun. That's how the song Amazing Grace goes. As it's just 10,000 years as it's just begun. I can't even get my mind wrapped around that. God, just because one day God offered me bread, offered me his sacrifice, his blood. He said, Kevin, I'm trying again. How many times have I tried to save you? Will you accept me? And I said, yes. Eternity. Have you got over your eternity yet? Have you got over your salvation yet? Man, I hope we don't. I hope we ain't got over it. I'm a church member. I go to Flat Top Independent Church. I've done this. I do this. I do that. I hope we don't. Man, when it's all lined up, man, you know what I can't get over? I'm saved. Man, I can't get over that I'm saved right now. Whew. Man, I don't know why God chose me, but he did. He's terrible at choosing brides. Johnny, I didn't get that. He chose me as a bride. Ugly old dude from Polk County. I want to marry you. What? Why? Because I love you. I've been pursuing you your whole life. I did the same thing for you. You're sitting there going, man, I'm filthy, I'm unrighteous, I'm unholy, I'm not good enough. I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I was raising it right now. I don't care, I want you. You want me? Get it? Live forever, man, live forever. I guess that's just a Wednesday night. I will live forever. One day, that old Easter sky's going to part and God's going, man, I can't wait to see your face when it happens. Oh, I can't wait. Some of you, boy, you are going to run and shout. You'll be on, I mean, you'll weep and yell and scream and praise. And some of you will be out of, you'll think you'll do one thing and you'll do the other. I can't wait. I can't wait. Not long from now, amen? Why did I preach all that? Why did I preach all that to you? Why did I tell you that? Because why did Jesus say, I want to be the bread? Amen. My flesh is the bread and my blood, amen, is the drink. Why did he say that? Because I want to tell you something. You're not going to believe this, but we live in the United States of America. We are probably the most spoiled people on the face of the planet. And listen, and some of y'all are going, but you don't know about some of the poorest people on the face of this planet that live in our country can still get the resources that some people will never even imagine. Amen? I mean, they could go and stay in a place. They could go eat 3 meals a day. They could have a cell phone. They could research the whole World Wide Web in a half second. Amen? And I only know this. No, don't argue with me. I'm just telling you the truth, right? But as us, just sitting here right now, I guarantee you, everybody within the sound of my voice that's in this room, I guarantee you, before you came or after you get home, you're not going to have to wonder where your next meal is coming from. Matter of fact, if you're like me, some of y'all will probably go to the cupboard or the refrigerator, open it up, and that baby's chock full, and you'll go, man, there ain't nothing here. Right? We ain't got nothing. But if somebody in a third world country could crack your cupboards, they'd go, we're going to eat, and eat, and eat, and eat, and eat. Right? Y'all hear me? It's like, hey, we're gonna eat till we're gonna get crazy, right? We're gonna get wiped out right here, right? More food than ever. So I would go a little further. You know what they'd probably do? I know some other people that are hungry. Let's get this and take you somewhere. Amen. Well, I'm telling you that because of this. Listen, even us, if it got bad enough right now, I don't know what could happen. I ain't gonna do no treacherous deal. But I'm just telling you right now, if everything shook out tonight and nothing was the same, if we couldn't get off this mountain in a few weeks, in a few months, in a few period of time, even for some of you preppers. No preppers. Okay, good. Okay, let's go this way. Even Garrett with all of his honey stocked up. Man, eventually the honeycomb's going to run out, all right? Okay? Everybody in this room, your necessity, when it comes right down to it, you work for it, you do for it, you think about it, food and water. Food and water. I mean, when it comes right down to it, you say, what about shelter? Yeah. If I ain't eating, that shelter ain't gonna mean I'm gonna eat the building, amen. I'm going to, amen. What about clothes? Well, after a while, it don't even really matter. It won't fit no way because you can't eat, right? Food and water, what it boils down to. Listen, everybody in this room, I don't care how full we are, I don't care how much we got. If we run out tomorrow and we sit down a couple months, we're gonna be, or a couple weeks, a couple, about 15 days, I think I can live about 18 days without eating. It's probably about 6-7 days without water. You wouldn't worry about nothing else. You hear me? Are you clear? Am I clear? I want you to be clear what I'm saying. I want you to understand what I'm saying right here. About 15 days, you wouldn't care what people thought about you. You wouldn't care about what kind of clothes you wear. You wouldn't worry about what kind of car you drove. You wouldn't care about what kind of stuff you had. Here's what you'd worry about. Where will we get that food? Where will we get that water? Amen? You hear me? That's what you'd be thinking about. Here's what Jesus said. I want you to think about me like you think about that. That's what Jesus was saying in this scripture right here. That's how important I am to you. I'm your spiritual food. Amen? I'm your spiritual food. I'm your spiritual drink. If you don't have me, you don't have the necessities. You're dying. Amen? You're dying. Listen, sometimes we treat Jesus like he's somebody that we had to have and we got him and he's just that insurance, that what we call it, sometimes we call it fire insurance. He said, no. I want to be the food you eat when you ain't got nothing else to eat. Amen? This sets you on fire, okay? Because guess what happens next? Verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue, and he taught them in Capernaum. And many therefore of his what? Verse 60. Is anybody looking with me? His what? Not just average Joes. Not just some, the root word of disciple is discipline. Amen? Some disciplined people. Some people that said, I'll stay no matter what. Right? They've went through some stuff. They've chastised their flesh sometimes and they follow Jesus. Okay? I want y'all to stay with me because I'm preaching good right here. It's like medicine. It'll get in there. Right? He said, listen to this. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this in verse 60, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Whew. Man. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Am I bothering you? Does this offend you? Do you not like what I'm saying? Why are you following me? Why are you following me then? Amen? Because I'm telling you something. And then, listen, I come down with this thing, and I get this question a lot. And I mean, some days I answer real good, and other times I don't. I've been asked it maybe three times since I've been the pastor here, and I'm going to give you some good answers to it tonight, I hope. But I've been asked maybe three times since I've been here, what is your plan for the future of this church? What do you see? What's the main thing you want this church to be? That's a good question. It always catches me off guard because the people that ask it, or I don't expect it. I won't say who asked it. You want to know, but I ain't going to tell you. But I want to give you some answers to that tonight. Number one thing, I don't want to let this thing end with me. Terry, say amen right there once more. I don't want to run it. Right? Yay! I don't want to run the ditch. Now, I've got some big expectations. What I would like to see, here's my main goal as a church in a community like we're in. Here's what I want. If these doors ever shut and people drove by here, they would say one of our greatest assets has closed down. I would hate for somebody to drive by here and go, when did they close? When did they close? Didn't affect me any. Huh? That puts us in a whole different ballgame, don't it? But can I give you my answer right now, what I want? Because I've been around church probably since 1986. Didn't get saved till later on, but I got raised kind of in church. I practically raised myself early in the years, like the little talk, the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up to about 15. I'd walk to church and go to church. But I was raised in the church. Met so many people who do not know what they believe. That were raised in church, went to church, and they don't have a clue doctrinally what they believe. They don't have. They will not fight you tooth or nail or anything. If somebody preaches and says, well, I might be right. Well, I don't know. My main goal right now for the next 5 years in this church is not to have an ignorant church. I want us to know what we know. Amen? I want us to be able to say, you know what? This is who we are. Don't like it? Go find somewhere where you like to be. Praise God, do what you want. But you know what? We're going to learn some stuff. We're going to know the Bible. We're going to know what we believe. You know what my main thing is? We're broken people. You probably heard that. What, for the last 3 years? We're broken people. Telling other broken people who put us back together again. That's it. There's nothing special about us, but we got hooked up. We found Jesus. And we want you to find him. We'll help you find him. We're just one beggar telling another beggar how to find bread. Is that right? This is tough. These disciples were like, man, this does offend me, right? I want to show you this. Watch this. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Somebody help me remember the word Rome, okay? Everybody. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Man, you want to take a weird look at those numbers? John chapter 6, verse 66. Ain't that neat? 666. Okay, just thought I'd throw that out there. Y'all didn't look impressed at all. That was cool to me. His disciples turned and went away. I got an idea why. Y'all ready for it? I got an idea why. They were waiting for Jesus to bring Israel and Jerusalem and Judah back into power and to defeat Rome. That's what these folks were waiting for. They were sitting there going, "All right, Jesus, we're with you. We're backing you. We're for you. No matter what." Write this down. Make a note. Some people, even in the modern church, if they think there's going to be a great physical outcome, they will be with you. I can use my gifts, my talents, and abilities. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to be great. But then Jesus switches gears on them. And He'll switch gears on you too. Are you okay? He'll switch gears on you too. Because you know what He was saying to them? It's important that you get what you're getting from me now physically, but the main thing is spiritual birth. This kingdom is not important to me. This kingdom coming is. Golly, I hope I'm not killing y'all with this. Are y'all getting it? Is it kind of seeping in? Because guess what? Sometimes, even in church today, people can say, "I'm a part of the church for the things they do on this earth." But somewhere in this, Jesus wants you to wake up spiritually. He wants you to wake up and be born again. Amen? Because guess what? He's not saving you for here. And it messed them up because they were like, see, when He's talking about His flesh and His blood being food and drink to them, they were like, "We can't understand." And all of a sudden He said, what if I go back to heaven and I leave you here to be just like me, to teach like me, to preach like me, to suffer like me, to be me here? No, that's not what we want. What we want is a good outcome for here. Sometimes what I want is a good physical outcome for here. What Jesus is wanting is a good physical outcome, a good spiritual outcome in heaven. Amen? Whew. Man, I hope y'all got that because that's big. I'm going to do it while I'm here. Might as well. You better get the main thing out of this church. The main thing we have to offer is spiritual rebirth unto Jesus Christ for eternal life. We've got youth programs. We've got Sunday school classes. We're going to do some amazing stuff here. We're going to do songs. We're going to do plays. We're going to feed people. We're going to get involved in missionary work. All that's great. Until the day that the Lord comes back and you're still here. You understand? Don't get all the physical stuff and miss the main thing, the spiritual departure. Amen? That's what He's saying. I'm your necessity. I'm the main thing. And Jesus said, "Well, man, why would Jesus, we have this, why would Jesus say this and make people go away?" Because Jesus would rather you go away mad than to tell you a truth and keep you sitting there. Woo! Sometimes we'd rather tell somebody what they want to hear and keep them around. Jesus said, "I'd rather you go away mad, still dealing with what I told you, than to sit in here comfortable." There's a lot of churches, people are going to sit in their churches comfortable, and the day the Lord comes back, they're going to be in trouble because nobody preached the truth to them. They wanted church membership instead of kingdom relationship. I want you to be at this church. I want you to be a part of it. But if you're not a part of the kingdom, I have failed as a pastor. We have failed as a church. Man, I love this next part. You can't preach this without preaching this part. You can't do it. I don't know. If you've ever been a preacher or teacher, you can't do it without this part. Then said Jesus unto the 12. What? What? He went after the 12? You done ran after. You run off all the Jews, run off some of your disciples, and you turn to your 12 closest guys? He didn't say, "All right, you three get over here. I want to talk to the rest of them." All 12. Look at them. Will you go? What does he say? Will ye also go away? You leaving too? Man, I can't do this. It's who I am. That is awesome. That's, I want to say it the way I was. That's stone cold awesome right there. Sorry, I said stone cold. Sorry, Johnny. Ain't that, is that not just, I don't know another word. Is that not ruthless? God, I don't even know another word to say. Help me out, Lance. Thanks. Huh? Man, I'm just, man, that's just, wow. That ain't normal leadership. That's, are you going to leave too? Man, they passed the test, didn't they? They passed the test. Will you pass the test? But sometimes getting out when the getting's good is fun. Man, all them others saw, let's go. You know? Listen to what he said. I know y'all have heard this part. This is one of the best parts in the Bible. Man, Simon Peter didn't always get it right, but thank God he got this one. And this is, you need to engrave this. If you're a born-again believer, you need to engrave this in your heart and your mind. Amen? I wish we'd get some dogged church members like this, some Wednesday night group like this one right here. Well, listen. Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else could we go? Where can we go? Listen, I'm never, ever, ever quitting Jesus. Ever. I ain't leaving him. I ain't going back to the world. You know why? He never quit on me. He never gave up on me. And if he didn't give up on me and he saved me and put his spirit in me, where else could I go? You know where else I can go. Amen? And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! And Jesus answered, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. One hung on that shouldn't, but it was on purpose. But guess what? Jesus looks right at him. And they tell him, look, you are the Christ. If you truly understand that he is the Christ, you can't go nowhere else. Let's all stand. I'll be honest with you tonight, this is a big, mature word. It's a big, mature word. I hope you got it. And if you didn't get it tonight, hopefully they recorded it. Listen to it again. Because this takes a little bit of self-examination. One, to know if you're in the faith. Number two, why are you here? Amen? Why are you here in this church? Why do you come here? Amen? And hopefully for the main thing, it's because you're born again. Amen? And if you're ever sitting in this church or on these premises and God starts dealing with you about your salvation, you can come anytime. You can come and approach God anytime. I don't care if somebody's singing. I don't care if somebody's preaching. I don't care if somebody's teaching. I don't care if the door. I don't care. You come and do business with God. Amen? This is a Wednesday night message for a Wednesday night church. Amen? It's good stuff. If you have any questions or any comments or any thoughts, I'll stick around for a couple few minutes right after this service. And you want to talk to me? If you want to talk to me about eternal life, I'll be here. If you want to talk to me anything that's going on in your life, I'll be here. Praise God. But we appreciate the Wednesday night church coming, even on a night where it's flooding. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Thank God you offered up to us the bread of life and that blood to drink, and you are our necessary. You are necessary to every Christian in this room. We're thankful for that sacrifice. We're thankful for the you to be in us and us in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I got one announcement to make. I'm sorry. We will have a business meeting Sunday night. Sunday night. Okay, a business meeting Sunday night, so be here for that. Yes. Who is it? Anna. Okay, Bud and Anna. Remember Anna tonight, that she's really sick, so we'll be praying for her. Thank you. After Awana. After, the meeting will be after Awana. Word of God's peace. Hey, where's that?